This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thanks for listening to the Primetime with Isaac and Souk. I'm Souk, by the way, podcast. Brought to you on the fan by your local Les Schwab Tire Center, doing the right thing since 1952.
Ah, cute.
Live from the Ladd Tap House on Southeast 11th and Sherman, this is a special draft day edition of Primetime.
I think the more tape you watch, the more his value is apparent.
You can join us for the draft and hang out with Isaac and Souk, Commissioner Swag, and our team GMs for the fans' annual draft party. Brought to you by the Allen Webb Auto Family. Value driven, values driven. By Encore Audio Video. Check out their showroom at 14th and Everett or online at EncoreAudioVideo.com. And by Ladd Tap House. There's always something going on at Ladd Tap House. Primetime on your home for the NFL Draft. 1080.
This is a great day in the NFL.
The Fan.
Hey, what it do? Oh, I've got an echo.
Yeah, and you're blowing out my eardrum there.
Holy shit. Would you rather I just scream directly into your ear?
Yes. The echo is one thing, but the super loud what it do. By the way, ahoy to you, good sir. Sorry about my eardrum. I've only got one good one, so if you could go ahead and not blow out the left one, that'd be great.
On-site engineering. Rick's all over it. Oh, there we go.
Hey.
No more great. Echo. I tell you what.
You still turned me down a scooch there?
Yeah, I sure can. Your headphone volume or your mic volume?
My headphone volume.
Okay.
You've got a little Swigard going for you right now.
There you go, big fella.
You're like, indeed.
How do your eardrums feel about this?
It's still super loud. I think
syphilis.
You've got the wrong one.
Syphilis. okay, well, I'll let Rick handle that. He's our engineer.
There you go.
What is happening? You know, the thing about sports radio, how's that?
Much better.
See, Rick's on the case.
Seriously, when you what it do came in there, oh, my goodness.
Came in. Chris came in.
Wow.
You know what the worst thing in radio is?
What?
Single worst thing in radio.
That's a big statement.
No, it is.
It's bold.
This is it.
There's a lot bad.
As a host, the worst thing in radio is double audio in your headset.
Yeah, it'll completely
it's just,
throw you.
Like, try doing a show with that on.
With the echo?
Yeah, it's like you're hearing yourself say what you just said only 2 seconds later.
You hear that like musicians, like where they get the in-ear stuff.
I don't know how they do it.
And they say when it goes, like you're
that's why they pull out their earpieces.
Yeah, they're like you're completely cooked.
That's what happens to me.
When you're out there trying to, 60,000 people.
My arena shows.
Your Vegas residency. You and Celine Dion.
Hey, you know what? I'm fired up today. Do you want to know why?
Why are you fired up today?
Because today is the NFL draft.
I know your sports pants runneth over.
I am wearing my official sports pants.
Yes, you are.
I have my Raiders hat on.
You've already spilled on your sports pants.
Oh, yeah. That's just a little water.
Sure.
I have my Raiders hat on. I have my silver and black. Ask me what their team needs are.
Yeah, you've got a real Raider thing going for you. Well, they're your pick in Vegas again, right?
Oh, yeah. I'm doubling down on them this year.
So, will they pick 10th, right?
Yes.
So, I'm glad that you know that. Yes, what is the need?
I don't know.
Of the Oakland Raiders?
I have no idea.
A lot of mocks have them taking a defensive player, by the way.
Yeah, whatever. Listen, can I just say something?
Yeah, go for it.
Right off the top of the show.
Sure.
There's my bro.
There you go.
What's up?
Raider Nation.
Raider Man. And let me tell you something about Raider Man. Raider Man is tatted to the gills.
Yes,
I expect nothing less. And he's got a mustache and a ponytail. Yes. Sir, you have just made my day. What's your name?
Eric,
nice to meet you. Thanks for coming out. Are you our GM for the Raiders?
Oh,
fantastic.
Eric's bringing it.
Fantastic. Fantastic. Our first GM is
yes,
in the house.
Rolling in.
For our mock NFL draft party, which is here at Ladd Tap House. Now, we're at Southeast 11th.
In Sherman. Yes.
Now, this is the old, it used to be
Blitz Ladd.
Blitz. But it is now Ladd Tap House, and they've kind of come in and remodeled. They've changed some things around, opened it up a little brighter. They've painted
a wall of TVs, if you will.
Yeah,
a wall of TVs.
That there are 10 TVs right in front of us for our mock draft party, which will begin in a couple of hours. But then, like back in this area where we are, there are 14 televisions. There are TVs everywhere in here.
It's a huge space, so plenty of room. Come on by, whether you're one of our GMs or not. Come by, have a beer with us, hang out. We'll be here till what? Usually, we go till 7, but we usually end up hanging out for a little bit afterwards and, kind of enjoying some first round
what have you here at the NFL draft?
And this is a Browns backer bar.
Some libations.
I met the Browns backer bro.
Yeah, I saw
earlier.
Him.
He's up there.
He was decked out. Was he wearing a Tim Couch jersey?
He was, which is inspiring.
Ouch.
His name is Kevin.
Can you pull the couch off of that?
Why would you want to do that?
Do you really?
He's probably the best Browns quarterback they've drafted.
You really want to embrace? Can we turn that into like a Brian Sipe jersey or something?
Kevin, little known fact, used to be a sports radio. What were we on before 1080?
910.
Was that 910?
We were Max 910.
No.
Well, I know. After it was 910, and then we moved over here, and 910 became Max 910.
But before that,
1520.
1520. He worked at the Fan when it was 1520.
That's old school, right?
With Dreamweaver.
Yeah.
And he does the Browns backer bit.
Yeah.
For all the Browns backer bros.
Oh.
And they're going to be up front here. He said he expects like 50 Browns fans
in
here.
Well, it's a big day for the Browns. You're sitting there at one. The reports are today is that for the last 6 weeks, the Browns have known who they're taking. And that seems to be right now
Darnold
leaking out of Baker Mayfield.
What?
Yeah, that seems to be the general consensus.
We'll get to that. But hey, listen, first of all, I got two things. One, Jonathan Smith is coming on.
Yes.
So for those of you that are like me and you get, I mean, look.
There's some draft fatigue.
Well, I like the draft. Particularly like the top of the draft to see where the quarterbacks go and such. It's very interesting. But for those who don't care about the draft as much and find today sort of a nauseating sports radio day.
This day is a lot like Pac-12 Media Day. If you're a football guy and you're jonesing for it, you're going to think it's the best show we do. If you kind of prefer where we get out into the left field a little bit, it's not going to be your favorite because we have to stay a little more focused.
If you're that guy who finds today kind of irritating, let me just first tell you that I am one of you. And my job today is to tee up this guy to my right who has one eardrum left because you got all your notes and stuff. Very smart football guy. I love that about you. Never change. Never change.
You try.
And my job is to tell bad jokes and add some levity because you know how I feel about the draft. But
as well,
now
you
that
should feel this way about the draft.
Now that it's here.
Yeah.
You know, at least we get to see who goes where, and then that's fun.
If you honestly want to me that is the most, it's important. To me, it's like recruiting.
It's like Christmas.
I view recruiting and the NFL draft very similar, that if you don't get it right, you will not be successful.
But the problem is you don't know if they get it right
exactly.
until three years down the road.
And that's my point, is that it's so important. And the coverage, it deserves it because it is the lifeblood of any NFL team, and it's the lifeblood of any college program. But what it's become, it's a bit of a joke. The hype around it, the industry that has been built around it, it's exploited an interest that's there, and it really has gone over the top. Again, the fact that anyone could possibly grade a draft on Monday is just, it's gall darn ridiculous. Or to somehow know that you think what's going to happen in those top 10 picks, we could see a trade at 2, at 4, at 5, at 8, at 10. All of those picks are available for sale. So for, you know, to have your mock draft and you say, well, this team's going to do that, you have no freaking idea. Everything at this point could be counterintelligence coming out of NFL teams.
So,
oh, and by the way, once the player gets drafted, you don't know. We can say Bradley Chubb's the next Mario Williams or he's the next Von Miller, but no one knows. Every year there are guys that are can't-miss prospects and end up being absolute busts. And there's guys that get drafted and you say, boy, that's a reach. Where did that come from? And the guy turns out to be an all-pro, or a guy goes in the fourth or fifth round as an afterthought, and he ends up being a rookie of the year.
So might I ask a rather obvious question?
Ask away.
Why then will we need 38,000 breakdowns immediately after and
because
tomorrow?
Because the interest is there.
Yeah.
And it's because the people crave it and they eat it up. And football has become a 365, sort of sport.
But you know what, though?
And there's just so many bros out there that it's the same thing with recruiting. Again, there's just so many people that want that constant information source and you want to know. And there'll be people that will boo picks and cheer picks for a kid that they've never seen before. That's the amazing part to me, is the vast majority of people that are going to get called in this draft are people that team's fans will never have seen. In fact, I go on a limb. I think a lot of the people that pretend to be draft experts, I question how much they watch. Now, I do think there's guys, I think Mayock, I think Kuiper, I think McShay, I really do think that they do their homework and they really dig in. But I think a lot of this stuff.
But they're bought off, though.
I think there's an element of that. I think that they can be influenced. But I think a lot of this is just, it's groupthink. It's like, well, if you tell me, enough people tell me that this guy is an elite prospect or this guy is someone that is going to be great at the next level, I think a lot of people just take that and run with it.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I've never met a fan, particularly a stubborn NFL fan, who doesn't think he's right.
Yeah.
Right? So these Browns guys in here, for example, they don't need somebody breaking down their picks. They'll tell you instantly.
Exactly.
Right? They already know what they think.
Yeah.
So it's,
at least
it's a futile exercise for me, but I totally get it. I get the love for it. We're here to cover it, and damn it, we're going to do a good job of that. And by the way, the NFL draft picks will be live right here on The Fan beginning at 5 p.m.
We'll cut in, and I will do my best to tell you what I think of it. You know, there's certain guys that I've seen a lot of. If you've played in the Pac-12 or you've played in a major program, Alabama, Ohio State. Other ones, I tried to do, again, the group thing, the group think, where I can give you a general consensus of what I read about it. But, you know, when we get a linebacker out of Virginia Tech that gets drafted here at number 12, I'm not going to sit here and give you a 12-minute breakdown because I've seen the kid play one time.
Well, why don't we call someone from Blacksburg? Do 10 minutes on that.
Because that won't be a slanted opinion.
Right. Well, hey, it is a fun day, though, because, you know, the fans get into it. And I love our mock draft that we do here with our listeners. We just heard, our Raiders guy is here. He's our first mock draft GM. Oh, nope, there's the Seahawks guy.
There you go.
I love that people come with the actual garb of the team that they're representing.
You're a Seahawk, bro.
That's so cool.
You're coming in the neon green polo there. Raider guy is ultimate Raider guy.
Fired up.
As you said, Raider hat, Raider t-shirt, ponytail, mustache, tattoos.
Yeah. And tennis shoes. New Balance.
Ooh, yeah.
Let's talk.
Do you think he mowed the lawn in those?
I don't see any grass stains.
I feel like that's a very dad move on his part. He's going to build the deck later.
All right, so listen. The draft and all the rumors and all the coverage and all the what have yous and the who's he what's it's coming
the
up.
The who's is and the what's and the Jims and the Joes.
But we're going to do college football in our next segment. This weekend is Oregon State's spring game.
Yeah, Oregon had theirs last week.
The coach, Jonathan Smith, good dude. He's going to join us next on The Fan.
East 11th and Sherman is brought to you by the Allen Webb Auto Family, by Encore Audio Video, and by the Ladd Tap House. Primetime with Isaac and Souk on the home of the NFL Draft, 1080 The Fan.
Refreshing beverage on an 85-degree day.
A delicious water for you or the Gatorade?
The
apple juice?
Gator water.
Apple juice.
The apple juice.
That's what it looks like.
Hey, I love the NFL draft, man. I lied about everything I said in the first segment. We already have. No, listen, here's something that's kind of cool.
We've got developments.
Yeah, we do have developments. Jonathan Smith of the Beavers is expected to call in here. We're going to do a little college football. But we have already had two of our GM bros. Not that GM bro. Not
no.
The official GM bro.
No.
Text
our GM
in.
Bros.
The Cowboys and the Bucks. Guys can't make it.
Yeah.
So two guys are already here that wanted to get on the wait list to fill in as GMs. They're in.
Yeah.
There's one other guy on the wait list. So I think there's a good chance if by chance you really wanted to be a GM, you could come down right now, get on the list, and you might be able to get a spot. We're only one spot away.
And remember how this works is you come by, you get your team, you make the correct pick, you're entered for the 65-inch TV that we're giving away.
Boom.
That's the official big-ass TV. And only people that get their picks right are entered into that. So, I mean, usually if you get your pick right, it ends up being maybe 6 to 8 people that are in the running for that. So you got a real good chance of walking away with that TV. So come on by and join us.
So this is Ladd Tap House, Southeast 11th in Portland. And we'll go to the picks live as they begin. And it looks like, of course, there's the countdown clock.
Yeah.
1 hour, 41 minutes, and 33 seconds.
And we'll take you up until we go off the air. But, you know, this will the first round will go longer than we're on the air.
So by my count, that means we're actually going to be pushed to about 5:15, 5:20 before this thing gets underway.
Yeah.
So while we wait on Jonathan Smith, tell me what you think is going on with this Baker Mayfield stuff. Is this a smokescreen, or do you really think he's going to go number one?
Reading through today, you know, all I can do is go off the reports. But, I mean, it sounds like Baker Mayfield is the guy. You know, there are some people now that are trying to refute that. But, you know, there's a lot of sources that are saying the Cleveland is going to take Baker Mayfield. And then the report today, I think it was Schefter that had it, that said 6 weeks ago, the Browns made this decision, and they informed Hugh Jackson 2 days ago of who they're taking. So this is not going to be up to the, you know, down to the wire. And my guess is that quarterback already knows whether it's Darnold or whether it's Baker Mayfield. So when you hear that this stuff is leaking out, that it's Baker Mayfield, and you've heard this over the last 2 days, that would coincide with telling Hugh Jackson. And once you start telling people that you're going to make, you know, this decision, that information will get out. So it leads me to believe that indeed you could see Baker Mayfield go number one. I mean, that seems to be the general consensus right now.
So there was a tweet this morning. I'm looking for it here. Will Brinson, he tweeted, this was on my Twitter timeline when I woke up this morning. And he said, currently at sportsbook.ag, there are no odds available for the number one overall pick. Top Bet Sports says it opened Baker Mayfield at 3-2, got four max bets within 30 minutes, and moved Mayfield to 1-1.
And took it off, right?
The buzz is palpable.
Yeah, and that's, again, it coincides with making the official decision. It sounds like GM and ownership knew this a long time ago, went through the process, due diligence, tried to probably, you know, throw some smokescreen out there, see what's up. But once they make that decision and you start telling people,
it's hard to
not. It spreads. I'm sure whoever it is, Mayfield knows it. You know, his family knows it. Because, you know, they can probably tell Baker Mayfield, hey, you're our guy, you know, don't tell anyone. And then he tells his dad tells his friend. And next thing you know, this stuff starts making its way, and you see these sorts of things get out. And I do think that's interesting. Four max bets on that. And let me tell you, when Vegas finds out about it and odds start changing like that, there's some teeth to that rumor. So, I mean, this is going to be a pretty controversial move. Remember, coming into the season, Baker Mayfield was viewed as maybe a third-round guy.
I know.
And even middle of the season, people thought borderline first-round
pick. What is that? He's more impressive in person.
More impressive in
than
person.
On tape.
I think he impressed people at the combine and just the year he had. And it seems like the idea is that Baker Mayfield has it. You know that,
but he had that before. I'm saying what's changed about the third round to first round. Like, you saw his season. He's a Heisman Trophy winner, man. The guy's really good.
Yep.
But what is it that made him jump from middle of the draft to the very top, especially over Darnold and Rosen and Allen and all these guys?
I think the number one thing that I've seen is they've gone through some of the analytics, and you look at everything from you know, the stats of them, clean pocket to when you don't have good protection to on the run. I think the accuracy of Baker Mayfield and the improv, and as people have watched him play, his ability to push the ball downfield better than what people thought. I think those things are what kind of lead or have led to this kind of ascension to where he's going to be the number one guy. And, you know, I think there's a lot to like about Baker Mayfield, but I think there's a lot to not like. You know, the two comparisons you get are Russell Wilson and Drew Brees. He is not as mobile or as escapable as Russell Wilson, and he has nowhere near the pocket presence of Drew Brees. And I get, you know, coming out of college, I mean, you can certainly learn those things and grow and develop. And I think if he ends up going to Cleveland, he's going to sit for a year or two behind Tyrod Taylor. But I just think when I hear the Russell Wilson, Drew Brees stuff, boy, I think that's really, really lofty.
Here's a, I don't know, a cockamamie idea, but let me throw this at you. Could it be that Baker Mayfield may be the guy because some of the other guys are basically saying they won't go to Cleveland? Is that possible?
I suppose there's an element to it.
Are those guys pulling a John Elway? They pulling an Eli Manning?
I doubt that. I do think the other thing that has helped Baker Mayfield is, as you've gone through this draft evaluation process, and again, this is only what you read and hear and trying to stay up on it, Baker Mayfield is the one guy that hasn't stumbled really in this process as far as the evaluation goes. The only thing that has really got him is, you know, the kind of that, the the grabbing of the crotch, you know, that sort of stuff. Is he too animated? But Darnold has been picked apart a little bit. Rosen has been picked apart. Even Josh Allen.
What are they saying about Darnold? How are they picking him apart? I thought he was the number one guy until all this Mayfield stuff.
Well, you look at the senior year and the turnovers and the accuracy. I think that has scared a lot of people. And really, you haven't heard a lot of negative about Baker Mayfield. He has managed to kind of stay above this. And when you hear people that have evaluated him in the interviews, in the throwing, I guess he did have the Charger one where he didn't show up prepared. That was a kind of a blip on the radar. But he's the one guy from an actual football standpoint that seemingly hasn't really had his game torn apart. And I wonder if it's been like a battle of attrition. As you've kind of gone through this process and you've evaluated these quarterbacks, there seems to be big knocks on everyone else, and Mayfield, believe it or not, is the one guy that the on-field stuff really hasn't had a big negative.
But isn't this super Brownsy, though? I mean, doesn't this just tee up us to say Cleveland is just going to go all Cleveland here? Because they're coming off the—I mean, just like out of left field with Mayfield, and then, boom, Sam Darnold's the franchise quarterback that everybody—I mean, most of the guys, I don't know, that I've seen, and I think you're one of them, too, although you like Rosen a lot— Darnold's the best guy here. So the Browns may be just being real Brownsy here, yeah. And this is like the most Brownsy thing ever, and that's the only reason why he jumped from third round to first round.
I'll tell you what, this is, if they take Mayfield number one overall, I think it's as risky a number one quarterback pick as I can remember.
And of course, it being the Browns, that means it won't be a good pick.
Because let me just tell you this right now: quarterbacks that are this style, this size, if you will, there's two of them, two in all of the NFL, and one is Russell Wilson and one is Drew Brees, and I don't think he's Russell Wilson, I don't think he's Drew Brees, so not that he can't be successful, but this mold, if you will, has traditionally not been very successful in the NFL, and I think that is pretty scary. And again, when I watch him play, I think there's a lot of Johnny Manziel street ball 50-50. You get away with stuff in college the way he plays, kind of that gunslinger, that does not work out in the NFL. And for every Brett Favre that does make it work because he's got an all-world arm and he's got a little bit of that immaturity, but kind of that moxie, that everyman, Jim McMahon sort of thing, for every one of them, the NFL is littered with 40 guys that are just like that fall by the wayside. So I think this is a very risky decision if they go Baker Mayfield number one.
But is it the big problem with Mayfield that when he ran from the cops, he fell and broke his face? I mean, he didn't even make it 10 feet.
How about a spin move? How about a stiff arm?
Right. How do you not get out of that? That's a red flag.
Well, honestly, to be fair, and Mayfield is a guy that I feel like I can speak a little more so on than some of the others because I've watched a lot of Baker Mayfield. A lot of what he did at Oklahoma, the escapability factor, that will not exist in the NFL. He is not an athlete like a Lamar Jackson or a Cam Newton or even a Johnny Manziel. He is not that kind of athlete. And it's one thing when you're running around making plays in college and you're dodging guys, in the NFL they will hunt you down. The speed and the athleticism of front sevens in the NFL, he is going to have to change the way he plays and become more of a structured person because he does not have, again, to me, the athleticism or the escapability of Russell Wilson. He needs to be more Drew Brees, and that's asking a lot.
So it's kind of like a Rodgers where he can run. He has escapability, but you don't want him. I mean, if he's going to succeed, he's going to need to be a pocket guy.
Yes.
So can't Cleveland? Here's a text. You can text the fan text line at 55305. We're at Ladd Tap House enjoying the pregame for the NFL draft. This text says, can't Cleveland then take Barkley one and let Mayfield fall to four so they get both?
Well, I mean, it's possible, but you don't know that he's going to be there at four. Look, there's going to be a run on quarterbacks
here.
Well,
the quarterback will be there.
Yeah, but if you think Baker Mayfield is that much better than everyone else, then you don't screw around. This is what I say. And look, I've got my reservations about Baker Mayfield. I have my reservations about all these quarterbacks. But I've said it before. I'll say it to the day I die. If in the NFL, if you believe that a guy that is available to you is a franchise quarterback, that you do not screw around. You do not try to get cute. You do not try to accrue extra picks. Whatever that is, you find a way to make it happen because it's that much of a difference maker in the NFL. So if you think Baker Mayfield is the guy, and there is any kind of gap between him and Rosen or Darnold or whoever else that you love, you don't screw around. You take him at number one, and then if you want, then you can shop the four pick. In fact, I think there's a real chance that that's what happens, is Cleveland takes their guy, Mayfield, Darnold, whoever, at number one, and then that number four pick is for sale. And someone else can move up and grab their quarterback, and Cleveland's happy to bump back, maybe get an extra first-round pick and maybe two twos to continue to rebuild this roster because they need it. There is holes all over this Cleveland roster.
All right, so we will try to reconvene with Jonathan Smith here, Oregon State football coach, expected to join us, and we'll see what's going on there. And we'll continue with some draft buzz. There's a Seahawks rumor floating around out there.
Oh, they're trading down.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a guarantee.
There's also the Earl Thomas rumor. So it's 3:29. We'll be right back from Ladd Tap House. Here's Mike.
By the Allen Webb Auto family, by Encore Audio Video, and by the Ladd Tap House. Prime time with Isaac and Sue on the home of the NFL Draft. 1080 The Fan.
3:35 on The Fan. We don't know what's going on with Jonathan Smith. Hopefully all is well.
Well, they might be having shaved ice.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, it's after practice.
Flavored.
You get caught
ice.
Up in those sorts of things. It's a big highlight there of spring practice. You get treats afterwards.
What's your top flavor?
I'm more of a cherry watermelon sort of guy.
I knew you. You know what? I pegged you as a cherry guy.
Yeah, it's delicious.
It's so bushly.
Cherry watermelon. Maybe if you want a nice grape.
Watermelon's nice.
Yeah.
Grape would be my number one.
Grape is refreshing.
Yes.
And you know what? Once I had a sour apple, and it was simply delightful.
Do they have weed flavor?
I don't know if they do or not. That's the problem with, like, the edibles, is they all taste like weed.
That's a sticky situation.
We'll see. I don't know. Look, Jonathan Smith is going to have to call in before 4:15.
Otherwise, we're hooped.
Yeah, because we've got a very big in the news because Bill Cosby's going to jail.
Well, I've got a theory on this.
Guilty.
I don't think he ever sees a day of prison.
So we got to talk about that. Then we have our Hot 5 at 5. Then we have the NFL draft. So next couple segments, you may or may not hear from Jonathan Smith. That's the best I can tell you.
At some point, we'll get him on. Hopefully today. If not, maybe tomorrow.
Hey, you want this funny little thing? A 2018 mock draft? Are you ready?
I'm ready.
This is what it's going to be like tonight.
Okay.
Number one pick, Browns, 100% guaranteed bust.
Just for the sake that it's a Cleveland quarterback?
Number two, Giants, someone who will hopefully keep all 10 fingers for the length of his career.
Now you're just getting personal.
Number three, Jets, another team's future third-string quarterback. You laugh because it's accurate.
Well, they're going to take a quarterback.
Number four, Browns, our condolences. Number five, Broncos, another quarterback bust. Number six, Colts, a random defender you'll never hear again in 5 years' time.
Trying to think,
that's
that,
so true.
Is that the German kid from Florida State, Bjorn Wagner? Exactly, that's my point. He was their first round.
Is he the Colts?
Yeah, he's the Colts. He was a first round pick and was a defensive end. And again, the fact that you're saying who?
Buccaneers, number seven. Who? Number eight, the Bears, someone to help lose to the Packers twice a year.
Yikes.
Thank you. Is this making you uncomfortable?
No, but I'm kind of enjoying it. Whoever put this together, I did a pretty good job.
You know, I don't know who this is not me, by the way. I saw this on have you ever, there's this internet?
You know, I've heard something about it.
It's great.
I'm not really experienced myself, but
a lot of stuff on it.
I've heard that people like it.
I found it on there. Bears, someone to help lose to the Packers twice a year. Number nine, Niners, soon to be convicted felon.
that's solid. Hey.
That's dirty.
Reuben Foster did not hit that woman. Remember that. She's recounting her story.
Our Raiders fan is cheering that one. Now, here comes the Raiders, though. Number 10, Raiders, the cellmate of the 49ers pick. Woo!
Oh, the magic of the NFL draft.
Roger Goodell in the house. Hi, Swigard. Number 11, the Dolphins. Player who will get good in 3 years only to be traded away. Also true.
There is a rumor that Miami has even told Tannehill that they may take a quarterback if one falls to them at 11. It's got to feel good if you're Ryan Tannehill.
Let's go to 15. The Cardinals, some white quarterback who will eventually have a season-ending knee injury.
I like that.
Number 17 is the Chargers, some Hawaiian guy.
Maybe Vita Vea?
Yeah, there you go. Number 19, Cowboys, have fun losing in the playoffs. That's a little weak. They could have done better there. There's more ammo there. 23, Patriots, local 5'9 Caucasian Walmart cashier and future Pro Bowler.
The next slot receiver.
Falcons, 26, someone to help not blow 25-point leads in the Super Bowl.
Ouch.
My God. You think Falcons fans are over that yet?
No. No, I don't think you're ever getting over that one. Unless you go ahead and win a Super Bowl, that one's going to sting for a long time. Go ask Cleveland fans if they're over the fumble, or go ask Raider fan if they're over the tuck rule yet. You gotten over the tuck rule yet? No.
I haven't either. No. I had a bunch of money on that game.
Our Raiders guy.
And they were going to win the Super Bowl that year. They were.
Yeah.
That team was going to win the Super Bowl.
Tuck rule, baby. Tuck rule.
Don't baby me. You had no action on that game. You didn't care.
Go Patriots.
That was such BS. What do we have here? The Steelers at 28, a crazy fast wide receiver. And number 31, the Patriots, a promising young quarterback Tom Brady will eventually have traded away.
That may be my favorite one. 2 years, Brady's like, look, you got to get rid of this kid.
Fun little mock draft there for you. When we come back, we need to talk about Josh Allen being a racist.
Oh, yeah. How about the fact that they had the Twitter account scrubbed and someone's been sitting on this entire time?
Yeah, he got... Well, it's a little dirty, don't you think?
This is
the day of the draft. You can cost that guy millions of dollars.
Yes. So, we can talk about it and come back. But, I mean, he had this scrubbed months ago, which means someone has been sitting on this information for a while now, only to release it today.
Yeah.
But, I mean, you said it, so, you know, own it.
Yeah, right. No, and he did.
Yeah.
But he was young. Let's talk about this coming up next. It's 3:40 on The Fan.
On Southeast 11th and Sherman is brought to you by the Allen Webb Auto Family, by Encore Audio Video, and by the Ladd Tap House. Prime time with Isaac and Souk on the home of the NFL Draft, 1080 The Fan.
You know what's really cool about this draft party?
What you got?
Somebody who was drafted in the top 41 of the draft is in attendance.
Woo! Look at that.
Right there.
Yes.
That guy right there. That big guy. Number 40 overall, 1939.
He looks great. He's aged really well.
You're looking great. Cam Cleland in the house.
Still looks like he could play.
Yeah, dude. Cam Cleland can.
Yeah.
Well, he could beat me up.
Yes.
It is 3:45. Hey, we're going to push the Josh Allen topic to next hour because we have found our man, Oregon State coach Jonathan Smith, is with us here on The Fan as the Beavers have their spring game coming up on Saturday. Coach, you know, the Beavers haven't. You know, I mean, I don't know. I don't go to it, but from afar, it seems that they've never done much on the spring game front. So what's coming up on Saturday? How do you view the spring game?
Oh, we're excited about it. I mean, to be able to cultivate all this that we've been working on the last month. I mean, the improvement getting made with the guys, the way they're working. We're excited about it, to go back out and have another day. We're not going to spend 2 hours of just straight scrimmaging. We're going to get some work done before the beginning of it and then get some live play. And it's awesome. It's an opportunity for our guys to go out and kind of show the improvement they made in front of a crowd and be able to compete a little bit. It should be a fun day. And then, shoot, it works out perfectly. We've got a baseball game right after it and continue to go out and check those guys out. So we're looking forward to it.
So, you know, you come into this, and I'm sure you take a look at some film, and you can see guys in the weight room. But, I mean, obviously getting them out of the practice field, you learn a little bit more. What are a couple things that you've learned about this team since taking over, now that you've been able to actually see some people with some pads on and moving around the field?
Well, I think we've learned that, for sure, football means something to these guys. The way they've worked really hard. Again, everything was new on them, especially the first couple of practice, the way we're doing it. Going from, you know, the type of drills to just the flow of practice was new on it. And they guys have really worked hard at coming in focused for a 2 hour practice and getting better. So I think football means a lot to these guys, which is awesome because, you know, the passion our staff has combined with these guys, that's been fun. I think we've learned we've got some talent. There's some guys in that room that can play and run around. I've been, you know, not, I don't want to say totally surprised, but impressed with some of the athleticism we got. And like I say, the work ethic, you get those things together. We can do some things, build some momentum here, and obviously we got to have the best summer of our lives. And that's really the next step after Saturday.
Who are a couple of Beavers that stood out, a couple of guys that you could single out that really have jumped off the page in spring?
Well, you know, I've been – A lot of guys. First couple guys coming to mind, Key Wetzel was running around defensively, you know, his athleticism and what we're doing within the scheme. I think it fits him really well. He's had an awesome spring. Jonathan Willis inside and linebacker's done some really good things. Drew Kell in the secondary running out. We're banged up a little bit in the secondary. He's gotten a bunch of opportunities to get himself out there, and he's done some good things. I've been impressed with the whole quarterback room, the way they've approach to learning a new scheme. And we've got some talent in that room. You know, I think Jake is throwing it really well. Timmy Hernandez, Champ Fleming's a receiver. Those two have really gone and made some plays. And you know, the depth we have at O-line, I've been impressed with those guys. You know, we've got an older group. A lot of those guys have played some, and they've done some good things at the line of scrimmage. So, you know, there's a lot of things that I'm positive about. Are we there yet? No. I mean, we got some work. But those guys have stood out to me.
What is the strength of this team right now?
Oh, I think we've got, you know, still finding each other out, but I think we're multiple and we can win games in different ways. I think there's going to be some times we're going to need our defense to step up, and we've got the capability of doing that. Vice versa, I think we've got the capability to score some points offensively. I think we've made a huge emphasis in the special teams in. And we've got a lot of young players that haven't been out there quite yet, but they're going to be able to contribute, starting with special teams and then working to their side of the ball, O or D. And I think we can do some things in the special teams area. So, like I said, are we arrived? Are we there yet? No, I mean, no one is at this point, but I like where we're headed.
This is Oregon State coach Jonathan Smith with us here on The Fan. We'll have the NFL draft picks. They're about to begin in about... looks like about an hour and 10 minutes, and we'll have those live right here on The Fan, so stay tuned for that. Describe your offense.
Oh, I think we're trying to be multiple. At the same time, work the skill sets that we have. We found out a lot here in April, and like I was getting to, I think we've got some players that can make some plays. We always want to work to have a scheme, offensively and defensively, that put these guys in good positions. And like I said, the ability to be multiple to put these guys in good positions, it's going to work well. I think the ability we've got, because our coaching staff has a multiple background of doing a lot of different things, from Jim Mahal to the offensive line, Brian Linger's called plays in a couple different styles offensively. Obviously, Mike Briley contributes a ton to that. You know, we've just got a lot of minds in the room, and molding that thing together has been a bunch of fun starting here in the spring.
When will you, I mean, quarterback, will this be something that goes until, you know, fall camp, middle of it, or is there a leader in the clubhouse? And then also, you know, replacing Ryan Nall, will there be a bell cow, or is this going to be by committee?
You know, we're still kind of finding all that out. No decisions are getting made on Saturday. I know that I like the competition in those two rooms. I don't think that... you know, if you go to signify just one guy, that probably doesn't mean you're really deep at that position. I think we've got some guys that can contribute in both those rooms. And so, yeah, we're not putting a deadline like, hey, we have to decide at this point. When we know, we'll announce it. But nothing's coming on Saturday.
What have you learned in this, you know, first head coach, you know, the alma mater? What has changed about you in these last handful of months that you've learned about yourself or your style, or, you know, maybe you thought it was going to be one way and, you know, you've changed a little bit?
Oh, yeah. I think what I've realized and learned in this role is that you got to be able to trust the people around you. And that's why I go back on feeling awesome about this staff that I've hired, to trust them to go out and do their work. And I've been just so impressed kind of watching them teach and coach out at practice, because you got to be able to trust those guys going. You know, coming back from being an offensive coordinator or maybe just a quarterback coach, you know, I'm responsible for that side of the ball or those four or five quarterbacks. And so that's what your focus is, and working and getting those guys better. Well, as the head coach now, you know, we had 90-some-odd guys out at spring practice. Couldn't be in control of all 90 of those guys on an individual basis at practice. You got to trust those coaches to do it. And I've just, like I said, been impressed watching them work and really watching the players work and listening to some of the teaching going on. That's been something I've learned.
Jonathan Smith of Oregon State. So I think, yeah, I mean, you know X's and O's. All the coaches know X's and O's. But being the head coach, what are your tactics for building a chemistry, building a culture early in your tenure among a group that's really been through quite a bit?
Yeah, and they have. I think they, you know, just going back to this last season and what took place here, and that was unbelievable experience for some of these guys. I think for a culture end, you got to build with, you know, building some trust. And if you're going to trust someone, you're really going to know them on a deeper level than just on the football side. And so we took an approach where we want to buy in and start to know these guys, because we didn't get the opportunity to sit in their homes and recruit them and meet their parents and go to their neighborhoods. And, you know, it just wasn't. One thing I did start was I kind of lived that experience myself. I mean, I came up here, came to Corvallis 2 years with Mike Riley, and he left, and then a new coach, new position coaches came. And so being able to tell them my story of I've been through a transition and it worked out really well. Doesn't mean one's way better than the other. Doesn't mean just because it's new, it's right. But it does take place. And we've tried to make a huge emphasis on getting to know each other.
We have a recruiting guy here that works for us. And you know, he was, the last couple of years, it has not been very good for Oregon State. So as you've kind of, you know, hit the pavement, it seems like there is a better reception for you guys, that there is a buzz that you guys have created early on. Are you seeing... you know, more of a positive reaction when you go into living rooms now?
We felt good about the vibe that's continuing to be created. I think Oregon State's a good place. I think this is a great place to go to school and get an awesome education and be around some just great people, students, professors, all of it. So I do think it's a positive place, and I like the vibe we've got right now. I think on the recruiting end, I think that, you know, you're trying to sign 18 to 24 guys a year. And so we're looking for guys that love football, school's important, and they're good dudes to be around. There's 18 to 24 of those a year that we can find. And not every place is perfect for everyone. And, you know, we're looking for the right fit, for sure.
What's the realistic turnaround? I mean, this program, obviously what it went through last year, you know, one of the worst in the Power Five. The coach walk away in the middle and you come in. So certainly this is, you know, it's going to take some work. But what is a realistic approach, you know, timeline for Oregon State to, you know, for fans to think that this team can contend again?
Well, you know, it's tough to put a timeline because, you know, I'm optimistic. I like these guys that I'm working with. These players are good kids that can play and are doing some good things. I know. On the other end, though, this league is tough. I mean, I've been in this league the last 4 years calling plays. I played in this league. Pac-12 is competitive now. Nothing's easy. You got to go earn it. And so I think every year is a new start for every program. And I think we should feel confident that we are going to work. We're going to continue and improve. We'll keep that work ethic. And then we'll see how it all plays out on Saturdays in the fall.
Well, hey, have a great time Saturday at the spring game, and continued success to you.
I appreciate you guys.
All right, we'll talk to you down the road. That's Oregon State coach Jonathan Smith.
You look at Oregon State, and, you know, it's going to take a couple years. It really is for them to be competitive, and they play in outside of the SEC West. This is the toughest division, I think, in college football. Oregon's going to be good. Stanford's going to be good. UW is the class of the conference. Washington State's a very good program. Cal's on the rise. There just isn't going to be a lot of easy outs here. But you start looking at Oregon State, and there's some things to like about this football team. I think there's some NFL guys that are younger. And I know he was out for the spring, but I think you know, Morris in the secondary is their best player. And I think he is a potential star. And, you know, you've got one at tight end. They're just – I think you're starting to see some glimpses of maybe some difference makers there in Corvallis that I don't think have been there for a while. And then for him to say the offensive line, which has really struggled the last couple of years and is more of a veteran-laden group, if they can get that going a little bit, that'll be a big deal for Oregon State. But I just think that first year you're trying to be competitive. Kind of remember when Colorado did this, right? You're trying to be competitive in the games, and it may not be about wins and losses for a year or two until Oregon State can turn that corner.
All right, coming up next, a very famous NFL draftee joins us, and we talk Josh Allen. Got railroaded a bit. A
little bit. But again, it's his
own.
You got
to own it. Yeah,
you said it.
You're absolutely right. So all that coming up next. It is NFL Draft Day live here on 1080 The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.